Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, and David Janes here with you. We are live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky inside the Mint Gaming Hall, just a stone's throw away from the Tennessee border. Head up here and watch the Monday Night Football matchup between the Commanders and Chiefs. And Willie, what is it, the Equinox?
It's a sports equinox.
Yeah.
Derek missed this part.
No, I did.
Oh, you heard it?
Yeah.
You weren't on yet?
No, I saw it on a text.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Yeah.
But for those who are not on our group text chain, what is the equinox?
Well, the equinox is when all four of the major sports play on the same day. It's only happened 32 times.
Yes.
Tonight is number 32.
Did
ever
it happen last year?
In the history of the world.
I thought it happened last
it
year.
It might
too.
Have. It might have.
I think it happened last year.
Well, it's still special.
It is.
Special. And I think it's probably going to start happening more because
exactly.
The baseball postseason goes
longer.
The hockey and basketball seasons, I think, start a little bit earlier, just
yep.
a little bit. But all four have a game tonight. World Series Game 3, Monday Night Football, a couple of hockey games, and then a bunch of NBA games.
And if you're looking for a place to celebrate the equinox, may I suggest Circus Sportsbook Kentucky?
Is it really a stone's throw away from the border?
Not literally.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I was about to say, can I really throw a stone?
Maybe it's a what's the guy's
really hard.
What's the kicker's name?
What's the kicker's name?
Oh, Tyler Hwang.
Yeah. Tyler Hwang. It's a Tyler Hwang kick from
Hwang.
The border. That guy's got a good leg.
Yeah.
He nailed that field goal.
Oh, he did.
Nailed
I love
it.
That Pavia.
I was so happy.
Diego Pavia
thought I was getting the money. I was yelling and screaming.
It was a great moment. Like it was this way it happened. And Pavia in his press conference said, that guy nailed that thing. He just went out of his way.
Going
to
help cover his tuition at Vanderbilt. By the way, I believe it was a Missouri-based reporter online shared footage after the kicking competition that was on College Game Day. Excuse me. Two people jumped the railing to try their own field goals for fun, and both of them nailed them.
Oh, wow.
So
Vandy know what they – oh, that was from Missouri, some Missouri people?
Well, I don't know if it was – I don't know if the people who jumped the railing were from Missouri. It was a Missouri reporter who was there.
Oh, that there.
Who
it probably was one of the kids that were practicing.
Maybe.
On campus.
A lot of people practice. They had 100 kids show up for that practice.
Well, next thing you know, we'll see someone having kicking lessons. If you want to be a NCAA kicker, an SEC kicker, come on here. We'll teach you how to kick.
Congratulations to Tyler Hwang, who, by the way, is a chemical engineering and economics double major. So,
damn.
Unbelievable.
Smart ink.
And can nail 50-yard field goals, apparently.
That kid got it going on.
So let's go back to Saturday morning for a moment. College Game Day is on campus for the first time since 2008. Desmond Howard is there. Nick Saban is there. Pat McAfee is there. Willie is there. All of the people who need to be there are there.
The
luminaries. The luminaries of Vanderbilt.
The who's who
are there.
Of Vanderbilt.
The
there.
Who's who of Vanderbilt. They're all there, especially Willie. And Willie had a little bit of time before the Predators game to attend College Game Day. He broke some rules, which he will get into in just a moment. But I thought it would be fun to share Willie's behind-the-scenes look at College Game Day because on television, it looked fabulous. The crowd looked fabulous. Nick Saban pulled what's known in the wrestling business as a cheap pop. When he said, I'm on Vandy's bandwagon now. Because remember, right before he said that, the crowd was booing him.
Uh-huh.
Because the crowd knows what Nick Saban says about Vanderbilt. Even the week before, he picked against Vanderbilt and says, I still just can't get this image out of my head of Vanderbilt being the gimme game on the SEC schedule.
Yes, there were a dozen or so signs at least, probably two dozen, that
referenced that.
It had a picture of Saban on there.
So Saban
the
went
only
with
the school in the SEC that's easy to play against.
So Saban went for the Mick Foley-esque cheap pop right here in Nashville, Tennessee. He said where we live. But I digress. Willie, what were your favorite moments of being at College Game Day? Share your experience with us.
I'm not a guy that watches game day very often because usually I'm going to spend a lot of time watching the games. Mm-hmm. And so the lead up to the games, I'm trying to get whatever else I've got to get done, finished. But I got a whole new appreciation for the operation mm-hmm. when you see it live. Like, they didn't plan months ago to do this. They planned a week ago to do that. Mm-hmm. And they set all this stuff up. The setting was spectacular with where they set the field goal up, where they put the main stage. They've got Dierks Bentley and Kenny Chesney playing on a band stage. They've got a couple of other sets that they do parts of the show on besides the main. It's not like just go up, throw up a stage, put the four guys on there and chat for 3 hours, right? It is really, really highly produced. So I gained a whole new appreciation for that. And the crowd was great. McAfee, who has the wrestling background, he really is a huge part of that show. He knows how to work that crowd. So he was the guy that was helping Nick Saban go from being the heel to the hero. They went from booing Nick Saban the first time he talked, and they just let it happen. The opening statement, Nick Saban starts talking about blah, 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 and all of a sudden, you're, and McAfee stops and he says, "Wait a minute, coach. Remember what you said, but this is," and he said, "I'm going to jump on the Vanderbilt bandwagon." And next thing you know, they're going, "Saban, Saban, Saban." And Nick Saban's wife was sitting right where Max Hurst, Kara Hammer, and I were stationed. And this is where we broke the rules. We just kept walking as close to this whole operation as we could until they stopped us.
You might as well.
We had a pass for some sort of access to get us somewhere near, but we went into the Home Depot VIP section, and we had some sort of pass, and so they let us by initially. And so Max Hurst actually looked at Nick Saban's wife and said, "Hey, welcome to the bandwagon.
Miss Terry.
Miss Terry." She was all smiles. She thought it was funny. She was sitting right behind. So we were to the side of the stage, and then after about 30 minutes or so, they started kicking out all the people that didn't have the actual Home Depot orange pass.
So did y'all leave before they can even say, "Hey, come here, can I see your badge?" Did y'all just leave?
No, they said, "You guys have to leave now."
It would have been better if y'all would have just left.
But then I'm glad it happened because then we milled around and went to all the different areas.
Stages.
At one point, we were right near the field goal thing where it was too early in the show to start doing the set there, right? So what people were doing was they were grabbing a football and throwing it all over the place, just like, you know, sometimes you see a beach ball get batted around at a game that you go to. So they're throwing this ball, and the band is stationed on the stairs of the big building at the Peabody campus, right, which is the backdrop of the whole thing. And so some people started thinking it was a great idea to try to throw the football into the tuba player's sousaphone hole. Right?
Why?
And the tuba player was like, "No, I'm not playing this game."
May I just say?
And I was a sousaphone player once upon a time. So
may I just say, as a former band geek who played in marching band, I was a trombone
player.
Take
it serious.
I would be pissed. People were trying to throw an actual football at my instrument because that thing can get dented. That's not easy to get out.
Yes. And I would have to say there were probably three or four clarinet players that got in the line of fire.
Ooh.
And they took a fastball, a Cam Ward. Like, there were some people that they tried to throw it with the right arc to try to drop it in.
But it didn't
remember
work.
Neil O'Donnell used to get the trash can at your practices and try to throw it right down into the trash can?
It didn't happen that way.
Some of these guys did not have the feel for that. They were just throwing laser beams. And the people in the band were like, "What are you guys doing?" But it was a hoot, and they had that.
Throw rockets and not like just touch it.
Yeah, put a little touch on it. Come on. But it was an absolute blast. The signs were fantastic. And I let you know, Adam, that there was indeed a "Miz has no Riz" sign.
Wow.
I thought you'd be proud to hear that.
I was
so
very proud.
I've got to believe that was a listener to our show, right?
Exactly. So if you are the one,
unless you stole it from that person,
no. How could I steal it from them?
Didn't know you were going to put it.
I said it before Saturday.
If you were the person
you did.
That put up.
You didn't know this person, did you?
No.
Okay.
Miz and Riz, or Riz and Miz, then
Miz has no Riz.
Yeah, please call us.
I would like my royalties, please. So if it was you, please call so now, that I can charge you.
I just want to say, hey, thank you for putting up the poster, and did you do it because of Adam?
Here were some of the signs that I saw on television that I loved.
Text us the signs and your experience, because I want to hear about it. It was a true experience that if you went, you will never forget that you were there.
Here were some of the signs on television that I saw, and then Willie can share some of the signs he saw in person. None of us even applied to Mizzou.
Yes, that was in my top 10.
We not ass.
That was
Saban come coach the Titans. Vandy game day before GTA 6, Grand Theft Auto 6. And one of my personal favorites, Tim Corbin would never leave for San Francisco.
I like that one.
But one of my favorite ones was the Pavia brothers ate my homework. That was good. One was things I love. Number one, my mom. Uh-huh. Number two, Diego Pavia. Number three, Diego Pavia's mom.
I just want to update
you sure
the listeners.
You sure that was you, Adam?
I just want to update the listeners. My wife did not change the locks on our house.
Okay, yes.
When I got home on Friday.
I meant to follow up on that, yes.
But was that you that gave that sign to the guy?
No, but it wasn't a bad idea. I had some explaining to do to my wife.
I'm sure you did. Oh, man.
Another one was, my son graduated from Vanderbilt, and now he lives in my basement. In other words, get a job, dude.
Like, I paid all that money for that. Get a job. Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, man.
One was playing off the Theo Von wanting to have a date with Diego, so it was stepfather, and there was a picture of the stepbrothers, but it was Diego and Theo Von in the picture. It had a high level of production value as well. And then the best one, I thought, and I conferred with Max Herz on this, he brought it to my attention, but if you saw Nate Bargatze host Saturday Night Live, there was a great skit they did of he's George Washington, and he's envisioning what the country is going to be like, and he's got these questions that they ask him, and it's a really fun, clever skit. But so to encapsulate this, of course, he's there making the picks. And it was like, how do you beat Vanderbilt? And it's a picture of George Washington, alias Nate Bargatze. And he says, no one knows. No one knows. But I do want to mention Bargatze, because he didn't just like show up for the gig. Mm-hmm. He was truly, it meant something to him to do that. And he explained it before he made his picks. He said, I was always wondering, would Vanderbilt ever be good enough? And would I ever be talented enough to where they would want me to make the picks for a big Vanderbilt game? So he was like, I'm living a dream right now to be able to do that. Like, and he was sincere. He grew up in the area, and he said, I didn't go to Vanderbilt. I wasn't smart enough to get the education, but I felt the same amount of pain.
Right. He bared the burden of Vanderbilt fan.
So that was great. So he was the right guy to be in that spot.
Robert in Spring Hill on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Adam, this is a better question for Willie. But Robert says, Adam, as a Vanderbilt fan for 48 years, I am living in a dream world right now. My question is this sustainable or is this a once-in-a-lifetime fluke for the Commodores?
Well, I would start by saying they haven't gotten to the next threshold yet, and that is still remains to be seen. That's why with each stepping stone, the stakes get higher. But I would say that in my time following Vanderbilt, there's two other times that I think they've gotten to this, and one was in men's basketball, one was in baseball. When I was in school, our basketball coach, my coach, Eddie Fogler, was the national coach of the year. They won the SEC regular season championship. They beat number one Rick Pitino in Kentucky. They lost in the Sweet 16, but they were a three seed. I was part of it. You know, there were some teams that there was a couple Sweet 16s. There was an NIT championship. There were a couple other trips to the NCAA tournament. And you had the top coach in the country. You had Billy McCaffrey, All-American. He was coming back the next year. And they let Eddie Fogler walk to South Carolina without really even offering him a raise. Yeah, it was. That's where they made a statement of, we really don't care whether we're good in athletics or not. And basketball at the time had the tradition. They had the winning. And then a year later, they missed their chance to get Ron Mercer, who was the top recruit in the country. And I could have seen a scenario. I think a lot of people had a vision of, if Eddie Fogler stayed and you got Ron Mercer, they could have gotten to new heights, I think, that they had never reached. And they were already good. The other one I would say was when Tim Corbin began to do what he's done for the baseball program. And I see so many parallels between what Clark Lea is building and what Tim Corbin built on his level at baseball. And Tim Corbin, they were able to keep. He got sought after by a ton of schools. But they did what they needed to do to keep him. They gave him the increased resources. And he was basically sitting out there, look, I want to win a national title. If you give me what I need to do that, I will stay here. And he is still here to this day. I think Clark Lea is in that spot. You heard Nick Saban say it. They better take care of Clark Lea, because people are going to come calling. When you do this well at Vanderbilt, people notice. There are a lot of big-time jobs open. He has leverage. I know that Clark Lea really feels like they've come a long way, but there's still a lot that they are going to continue to need. So they have to continue the investment. Like, for example, his offensive coordinator. You think people aren't going to come for Tim Beck?
Course.
That guy is a genius. They want him. So it's not like Clark Lea needs to get paid. Clark Lea grew up in Nashville. He wants to stay here. But they're going to have to continue to show the commitment to keep him here. So that's I hope that answers this question. Nobody, as Nate Bargatze or George Washington, no one knows. But I think we're in a new era of athletics. I think we know now big things can happen.
Speaking of Nate Bargatze, we have the clip of him picking Vanderbilt
at the end
of College Game Day. Here was Nate Bargatze.
Look, this might not mean a lot to you, but personally, I am from Old Hickory. I grew up a Vandy fan my whole life. I was not smart enough to get the education, but I definitely have carried the burden of being a fan. I can't believe this is happening. When College Game Day came here in 2008, I couldn't believe Game Day even knew who Vanderbilt was. And then we started talking like, oh, I wonder if I could be a picker. And so then I got my career, and it was up and down. It was up and down. And then Vandy goes back. Then I did SNL, and I came on Game Day 2 years ago. And then here we are now. It's a miracle that this is aligned for me personally. And Clark Lea and Diego Pavia to pull this together, it's unbelievable. Thank you so much for the year of my life with you guys. We're going Vanderbilt anchor down all day, baby.
You could tell how much it meant to Bargatze to be there, which was nice. It was a nice touch.
That is an organic, authentic testimonial there for not just a comedian showing up to, hey, that'd be good for my career if I go on Game Day. He was going to be the guy.
He also gave two shout-outs to Jared Curtis over the course of his time on College Game Day. At one point saying, do you want to be in a movie?
That was a great line. He goes, I don't know what the rules are. Of course, Kirk Herbstreit was saying there are no rules.
Yeah,
say anything you want.
I think this is, if Clark leaves, and there's no report to him leaving. I'm not saying it. But if he does, that tells me that they're not in line with the vision that he sees. That's the only reason I can see him leaving is if, because I think, in part, that's why Franklin left, because it was like, well, y'all ain't – all right, I got to go. And he went, and he had success at Penn State before they released him. The only way I see Clark Lea leaving, because, outside of possibly going to the NFL, and that may be, like, one of his ultimate goals, was one day it's a coaching NFL team, and that's great. But if you just look at his story, he played here, he played under some great coaches. He comes back here when his program is at a low.
It was at a low.
And he takes this program, first couple of years, he's fighting through it. And then all of a sudden, they start to see some fruit from all of that labor that they were putting in. I can't see him going through all of that in the way he talked to us every week in the way that I'm sure he's talked to you in private, and I've met him, you know, once. I went over there, and what he said to me, he believes in this program. Like, 100% he believes in this program.
In the city.
In the city. That's, and the only way he would leave, I think, is if they showed him otherwise.
But that's why he can't let them take advantage of
him. Exactly.
Because
absolutely.
They know how much he loves Vanderbilt. They know how much he loves Nashville. They know that he
don't be surprised if they don't be surprised if they interview him for the Titans job. Don't be surprised. I'm not in agreement with it. I'm not, because y'all know I said, and I love Clark Lee, but my requirements, my criteria is my
no college coaches.
Line is no college coaches. But
right.
I wouldn't be surprised because of what he's doing on West End and how he's building that program.
Yeah. Titans need some building.
They need some building.
They're in the rubble.
Absolutely.
Right now. But I think what Tim Corbin and James Franklin mm-hmm. did, and this was very different than when Eddie Folger was there, because Eddie Folger had the leverage, was just trying to use it to get – he wanted to stay. Mm-hmm. He was just trying to say, look, I'm one of the lowest paid coaches in this league. I'm the coach of the year. I deserve a raise. Mm-hmm. And they didn't even give him the time of day. They let him walk to South Carolina. And he was the national coach of the year at South Carolina about 4 years later. Tim Corbin and James Franklin, when David Williams and Chancellor Gordon Gee, that was the next level up mm-hmm. to a better commitment, because they realized when they had the leverage, hey, we can't let this guy go. We can't let Tim Corbin go. This is unbelievable. Nobody's ever done this. Let's give Tim Corbin what he needs. Now, I hope they're at a point, like the Chancellor, I think Chancellor Dearmeyer, he's much more in with the vision mm-hmm. of, if you're going to do it, if you're going to be in the SEC, you got to give them the tools to fight as the only private school in a 16-team mm-hmm. Super League. And Candace Story Lee, she played at Vanderbilt. She's got 3 degrees from Vanderbilt. She sees the vision. They're much better equipped mm-hmm. to do this now. But football is such a big, big operation that with all that they've already done, they still have to continue exactly. to sustain it. Clark Lee knows that. So I think if you're Clark Lee, you have to make sure they don't take, you know, use the leverage you have to get what you need.
615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on Vanderbilt's win against Missouri. Also, if you were also at College Game Day, as Willie was, you can share your experience with us. 615-737-1025. We will get back into the Titans coming up next. Roger McCreary shipped out of Tennessee earlier today. He's headed to the Los Angeles Rams. Who could be next? We'll discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. By Bax Homeworks, financing options are available. To make your remodel easier than you think with Bax Homeworks, get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com. Before we came on the air today, the Tennessee Titans made some news by trading Roger McCreary to the LA Rams. The Rams are sending the Titans a conditional 5th-round pick in 2026. The Titans are sending McCreary and a conditional 6th-round pick in 2026. So McCreary and a conditional 6th-round pick to the Rams, a conditional 5th-round pick to the Titans. I think I spit that out properly. And yet, once again, it just shows you how awful those 3 years of drafting were, 2020, 2021, and 2022. 23 players drafted. One remains a member of the team. Chigakonkwo. And Chigakonkwo may not be a member of this team by a week from tomorrow when the NFL trade deadline comes and goes. Quickly, just because I'm a masochist, let's just read quickly all of the players in that draft class and those draft classes who are no longer with the Tennessee Titans. I'll try to do it as swiftly as I can. Treylon Burks, Roger McCreary, Nicholas Petit-Frere, Malik Willis, Hassan Haskins, Kyle Phillips, Theo Jackson, Chance Campbell, Caleb Farley, Dylan Raidens, Monty Rice, Elijah Molden, Des Fitzpatrick, Rashad Weaver, Racy McMath, Brady Breeze, Isaiah Wilson, Christian Fulton, Darrington Evans, Larrell Murchison, Cole McDonald, and Chris Jackson.
That doesn't sound like a lot.
It's not. No. It's just 22 out of 23. Willie, your thoughts?
Cole McDonald. Wow.
Wow.
Had the farm?
Yep.
E-I-E-I-O.
He didn't make the team.
Oh. E-I-E-I-O.
He was the first of the 23 to be crossed off the list, I think.
Who was that? That was a receiver, right?
He's a quarterback.
No, he was a quarterback.
Quarterback, yeah, the quarterback.
Lenny says, I would like an explanation for the move. Good luck, Lenny. I don't think you're getting an explanation for the move. We know that Chad Brigger and Mike Borgonzi don't do too many news conferences. And as you saw after the Titans traded Jarvis Brownlee, Brian Callahan had to answer for it. Mike McCoy had to answer those questions today. So I appreciate the thought, Lenny. I don't want you to hold your breath. Andrew from Dover says, has an interim coach ever been canned during the season? Titans should be the first. The interim to the interim?
Yeah.
The interim interim?
Oh, man.
That's a good question. Has an interim coach ever been fired before? No. But wouldn't it be on brand for the Titans to do something unprecedented by deciding a couple of games? And, yeah, we picked the wrong interim coach. We need to find another one. But I don't think that's happened off the top of my head. Andrew from Dover.
Sorry. Oh, I'm sure it's happened in the history of the NFL, probably.
An interim?
Two coaching changes in
I've never heard of that. If the interim gets fired, either he's really bad or your team's really bad.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
Both. I can't see. No, that's not going to happen.
No, but I think we can cross off Mike McCoy's name for potential Titans head coaching candidates. I don't think it's going well.
But isn't it though illustrating that they're not losing because of coaching? They don't have any players.
Now they have fewer players.
Right. You could see it coming. When you start with no depth and you're playing 17 games, you're going to start losing guys. It doesn't get easier.
I just want to take a moment to again thank Vanderbilt football. Because it was nice to watch a game on Saturday with actual stakes. I watched the game at a friend's house. I tried not to miss a play. I was on the edge of my seat. Plenty of twists and turns. Remember, Vanderbilt won on a Hail Mary from Missouri that was 1 yard short.
A half a yard short.
That was like inches short. Yeah. It wasn't even a happy. That was like the tip of the ball was like inches away.
Yeah.
Cause they
like Kevin Dyson in the Super Bowl, that was 1 yard.
Yeah.
This was less than 1 yard.
Only thing it had to do was break. Like the tip of the ball. Only thing it had to do was break that line.
What were you thinking
in live time?
In live time, I knew that he wasn't. I
didn't think he caught it at first.
Well, they were given incomplete. I was like, I think he caught it. But I was like, he's not in. Like there was never a moment where I was like, is he in? He was clearly not in. So I really wasn't worried. It was just a matter of whether they thought he caught the ball or not.
Exactly.
My heart still skipped about 7 feet.
I was like, no.
Yeah. Because there was just something about that game where you knew it was going to go down to the last play.
And it was almost like it was a lazy, like, Hail Mary. And he just seemed like the only person that was right there. Even though I know it was a bunch of people around him.
Think about what happened.
But it fell perfectly right in his hand.
Yes. And that guy did a heck of a job to hang on to it because there were three guys on him. But think about what led up to that. I asked Clark Lee, did they think about milking the clock and kicking the field goal?
I thought they would do that.
I was thinking that they might, but I couldn't do the math in my head. They had two timeouts left.
At least don't score on the second down. Force them to call a timeout. And then I think they would have let him score.
Well, but think about what happened on the first play after Pavia gets to the 1 yard line. Everybody for a moment thought
it was a fumble.
And it was clearly not a fumble.
Yeah, it wasn't a fumble.
It was not even close to being a fumble. But the guy picks up the ball, starts running, and you start worried about it.
Hold on. What was wrong with the refs?
I don't know.
This week, not well, all refs this weekend, even in the Titans game. What is wrong with the refs? Like, how did you not see that that wasn't a fumble?
A question as old as time. What is wrong with the refs?
But that was clearly it wasn't a fumble.
No. But that delayed the game for a while, and it gave them even more time to sort out, is it worth milking their last couple timeouts?
Yeah.
But they score, and then on Missouri's drive with the true freshman quarterback who came in when
he did a good job.
He did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
you had him sacked. You had a game over where they kept alive with the pass interference, which I think was the right call. It was close, but you hit him.
Yeah, got there a little bit too soon.
Then they had the 10-second runoff. Then they had a ball where he intentionally grounds it on the 10-second runoff. Two Vanderbilt players were going to catch it, but they collided, and they almost knocked each other out cold. Mm-hmm. The ball dropped, so they get the one more chance. So I just kept thinking, this game's too crazy. We might see something. So I was not – Coach Willie – I had to say, Coach Willie was razor sharp on that last drive. We did not take for granted that the game was over until it
was
over.
You were dialed in.
I was dialed in.
But this was my larger point. It was nice to watch a game that actually meant something this weekend. Versus yesterday, I turn on the game. I'm mostly paying attention. But even when the Titans made it 10-7, I thought to myself, this won't last. And by the time Jonathan Taylor just emasculated the entire Titans defense on his way to an 80-yard touchdown, I was paying attention to basically everything else. The game was still on, but I was spending time with my family, or as the recently fired Brian Kelly would say, my family. I spent time with my family, and I had the game on, but I wasn't paying attention. The Titans really have not been worth our time for a few years now. We watch the games because we're here, we talk about them, but it's not an enjoyable experience. You feel like you're wasting your time as you're watching it. 2 weeks ago, Willie, you weren't here on the day that the Titans fired Brian Callahan. I described the Tennessee Titans then as a time suck, and that's what the Tennessee Titans are, a complete and total time suck. So I'm watching the games. But it's only going to get worse from here as they continue to trade actual NFL players. And I just want to thank Vanderbilt for the moment for giving me a football game this weekend that I thoroughly enjoyed watching, that made me excited, because the Tennessee Titans sure as hell haven't done that for the past couple of years.
Well, I've conditioned myself now to think that the play that I see Sunday – will be not good play. Let's just say that. I've conditioned myself to that now. So I'm watching the game not because I think they're going to win. I'm watching the game just to see, like, which guy stands out in a good way. That's what I'm watching for. Which guys are standing out, which guys are not, because that tells me a lot. That's why I said it was disappointing, it was discouraging, it was embarrassing to see the way the defense played. Against the run, particularly, because that's one of those deals where I'm taking your lunch. Give it here.
Yeah.
I'm taking your lunch, and you can't do nothing about it. That's the embarrassing part. That's why I continue to watch, because I'm like, there has to be something in this team that I can enjoy watching. I enjoy watching Iron Manor because I think he's going to be a player. He needs to cut down on the drops, but I think he's – he may not be a number one, but I think he could be I like DK because he's just explosive. I like him because being a former returner, I see what he see, and I know what he's doing on special teams translate to the offense, and they need to start using him more. He needs to become the focal point of that offense. Nobody else but him. That's why I'm watching the game. But outside of that, it's like I know – it's like, man, the likelihood of them winning is very slim from here on out.
If you're a glutton for punishment, I highly suggest watching the Tennessee Titans every Sunday.
But I get my Vandy fix, the good stuff on Saturday.
Right.
And then you got to do what you got to do on Sunday.
Like the Titans the Commodores have another huge matchup this weekend against Texas, which survived. Well, actually, they didn't. Well, I guess you could say they survived.
They came back.
They came back.
Uh-huh. That was an incredible.
They weren't holding on for dear life. They had to come back. The Longhorns did. So we have another exciting, meaningful game to look forward to on Saturday. Meanwhile, the Titans host the Chargers. Chargers are 9.5-point favorites. Wouldn't shock me if the Titans lose it by 20 again. We'll see.
They don't look like they can be competitive no matter who they're playing, really. That's where they are. And I have seen Titans teams in the last 3 or 4 weeks decimated with injury where they got to that point. I think they have reached that point earlier than
this year. Than last year.
Yeah, I think so.
So
where you're really concerned,
team is worse than it was last year.
I don't think there's any question that they're worse at this point.
Yeah.
They're thinner. Their roster is thinner.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Titan. Keith, by the way, says, I watch on Sunday to see what goofball mistake they'll make. That will be the headline on Monday. I share that, Keith. I think we can agree on that. 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up the show next with some major college news from over the weekend. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
Kane is in the building.
D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We will be live at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow. The Predators wrap up their 5-game homestand against the Tampa Bay Lightning. We will be joined by Predators GM Barry Trotz live at Barrel House at 5 o'clock. Trevor Maddich will also join the program. But yet another big firing in college football over the weekend. Brian Kelly fired by LSU. He is owed more than $54 million in buyout money. And this trend continues. LSU fans were chanting "Fire Kelly" over the weekend after LSU lost at home 49-25 to Texas A&M. I know that somewhere my father-in-law, a big Notre Dame fan, is smiling because I don't think he certainly cared for Brian Kelly after he left Notre Dame, and he's getting his comeuppance, so I'm sure my father-in-law, shout out to Terry, is enjoying this. But it's just, think about all of the openings, Willie and Derek, around college football. Big openings. LSU, Penn State.
Florida. Maybe Michigan State pretty soon.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I know. But he's not built to be a Michigan State coach. He's just not.
Here are the openings. LSU, Florida, Penn State, UCLA, Arkansas, Virginia Tech, Oklahoma State, and Stanford.
Man.
Those are the openings according to Field Yates of ESPN.
A lot of jobs. But, I mean, I guess it all started bad when he tried to give the fake sort of southern accent.
The Cajun accent.
Yeah, My family. Accent. I referenced that
earlier.
That's
where it started.
Brian Kelly from Massachusetts,
exactly.
I believe.
That's where it started. And he, those weird, what he was doing with the players and the the minute he got there, it just didn't seem right.
If only Caroline were here right now. I wonder what Caroline Fenton is thinking right now.
Her head's probably exploding. but it's you just wonder because they had a graphic and they showed the coaches before him. Saban won a championship.
Orgeron.
No, not Orgeron won one.
Yes.
But who was in
Les Miles.
Les Miles.
Yes.
Won a championship, won an SEC championship. All three of those coaches won the SEC championship and won a national championship. He's the only person that hasn't done it. And this team has been loaded.
Brian Kelly, by the way, went 4-11 in AP ranked matchups under Brian Kelly. 4-11.
You know, though, you play a tough schedule. What we're seeing in the SEC race, there's still, even after LSU's loss, there are still about 9 teams that could still see themselves in the playoffs if they finish strong. That's how deep the league is. So somebody is going to lose big games. I don't get it. But with Kelly, I don't know what it is. There's something about him that just isn't likable. So you don't get the where you don't get the benefit of the doubt. Like, it makes no sense that you go from being a top 3 team to getting fired 4 weeks later.
He has a very punchable face.
Well, he annoys you.
He has a thumpable nose.
How many times has he been caught on camera berating a staff member, berating a player?
Right.
In the worst way.
Mm-hmm. He's anti-Clark Lee. Clark Lee is an incredibly likable person. And I'm not just saying that because he comes on our show every week. But Brian Kelly has never given me that vibe. Brian Kelly, he seems like a jerk.
I don't know how he made it this far, honestly.
But if you
I really
to
don't.
His
but
press
but that's but that's just me from the outside. Uh-huh. But just take away the personality part. I think we got something going on here. It's always been bad in the SEC. It just means more. Uh-huh. But 50 how what, what's 50 what million?
54-ish.
54 million buyout. They were number 4, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe number 3
to open the season.
Not to open the season. After they beat Clemson, and then who did they beat somebody else early? They got did they beat Ole Miss?
They lost to Ole Miss. They beat Ole Miss. South Carolina and not forget who else.
South Carolina, let's go through their Clemson. Schedule.
Let's go through the schedule.
All right, let's go through their schedule.
Clemson.
They beat Clemson. They
lost
to Ole Miss.
They beat Florida. And what number were they at that point?
They were number 4 in the country
number
when
four.
They lost to Ole Miss.
So when they lost to Ole Miss at number 4 in the country, at Ole Miss, not
they
a bad loss.
Sliding ever since.
He has gone from that point to fired.
In
how
month.
Many how
in
many
a month?
Weeks?
Exactly a month.
In 1 month.
September 27th was the loss at Ole Miss. So exactly
that,
1 month.
Is that a little bit of an overreaction? Unless he's a complete, is it more of a jerk behind the scenes than he even appears on camera? And that might be true. But you're going to pay a guy $54 million because he went from being number 4 to where they are now in a month. And who have they lost to?
They lost to Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, who is a top 5 team.
They lost to Vanderbilt.
Top number 9.
Yeah.
They lost to Texas A&M.
Texas A&M undefeated. But nope, we got to fire him. Nope. Unacceptable.
No,
we're LSU.
You,
we're
that
LSU.
Tells you he's rubbing somebody the wrong way. Like he's
I don't think so. I think that'd be part of it. But I think it's just all the schools in the SEC think our school shouldn't lose to anybody. Even though we play in a 16-team league, that is insane. It's
Willie,
insane.
It
the
more.
SEC is insane.
It just means more, okay?
Yes.
Have you
if
heard
you
that before?
Winning,
yes.
If you ain't winning, you out of here.
Yeah, that's unhealthy.
I know it is. But they've created this. The SEC yes. has created this.
I mean, Caleb DeBoer was going to be that guy when they lost to Florida State. They were like, well, how much does it cost? Well, $70 million. How would we do that? Like, they were ready to run him out. And now everything sounds good now. But if he loses 2 more games, oh, well, I don't know about that. Now maybe we should fire him.
Hey, listen.
It's insane.
When
somebody's going to lose. Somebody is going to lose every week.
But it bet not be me. That's what they're saying. It bet not be us that lose. And if you lose too many times in too many consecutive seasons, you're going to get fired. Yeah. I don't care if you do end up 10-2.
Yeah. Well, how about Ryan Day last year? Ryan Day, what's his record at Ohio State? Like 56
and
6?
But we know why that had to happen. Like that was going to happen because he couldn't beat Michigan. So that's different. That's different.
He's 77-6. He's 77-10.
77.
But he couldn't beat Michigan, and that means a lot.
Right. I get it. 77-10 is pretty good.
Yeah, I get it. His winning percentage against everybody else was great, except Michigan.
Chris on our text line says, boy, you know it's really bad when three quarters full cup Willie says, it's bad that they're a terrible team, referring to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, they're bad.
Coach Willie, it came out. Hey, when they're a bad team, they're a bad team. But this is what the SEC
just
is.
Throwing around just and, that the buyout money.
You know,
it's just ridiculous how much
Texas,
money these universities are willing to eat.
No, Texas former coach
Jimbo Fisher.
No, not Jimbo. Texas University of Texas. Mack Brown. He was on. He was doing a podcast some weeks ago. And they were asking him, I think after somebody, it may have been right after Franklin got fired. And he said, listen, this is what's going to happen, he believes. Instead of, because these buyouts are getting large, like all of these buyouts are getting large.
They're protecting themselves.
Yeah. He's saying what he believes is going to happen moving forward is universities or boosters are going to be willing to pay an extra $2-3 million just in case it doesn't go right, so they don't have to pay the big buyout. So they would rather give you some more money up front and the buyout be less, which I think is good in a sense because if after 2 years or 3 years you show me that you're not winning, the only reason I'm not firing you probably is because I owe you a $70 million buyout.
Front Office Sports reports that with the firing of Brian Kelly, college football teams are on the hook for over $169 million in buyout so far this season.
They're going to have to trim that down. They're going to have to either give them guys money up front. Well, I think that's what they're going to have to do. Give them more money up front as opposed to having the buyout be so large.
Kelly's is $53 million. James Franklin, $49.7
million. How much did Jimbo get? When he fired.
It was 70-something. It was 70-something. Kelly at $53 million. James Franklin, 49.7. Billy Napier, 21.2. Mike Gundy, 15. Sam Pittman, 9.8. Deshaun Foster, 6.43. Brent Pry, $6 million. Trent Bray, Oregon State, $4 million. Trent Dilfer, 2.4. Jay Norvell in Colorado State, 1.5.
Wow. And Brian Kelly was sitting there talking to his team at halftime on Saturday, leading an undefeated Texas A&M team.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later,
poof,
he gone.
No,
gone.
But
he gone.
But they showed the conversation with the AD or the assistant AD after, was it before half, going into half? No, it was after the game, before he went to the locker room. They were having a little talk on the side going into the tunnel. So that just could have been a, hey, we need to talk to you after the game.
As I always say, I'll take somebody's
That's
money.
That's not funny because I don't want nobody to get fired.
He's doing okay. It's fine.
Yeah, he's got $50-something million.
Yeah.
So, hey, it is what it is.
As I always say, I'll take somebody's money.
But it's
money
not him. It's the other coaches. It's the other coaches because they're not getting $50-something million buyouts.
Well, maybe Brian Kelly will throw him a bone or two.
No, he won't.
But that'll do it for us today. We will be live at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow. Predators host the Tampa Bay Lightning in the final game of their five-game homestand. Barry Trotz will join us. Trevor Maddich will join us. We'll see if another Titans player is traded by 3 p.m. tomorrow. Let's all find out together. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Monday. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us because we will be back tomorrow from Bridgestone starting at 3 o'clock. Peace.